is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Falcon Monday. And yes, we are celebrating another dub. We've won three in a row. As Mike and I said today, you should feel really good about where our football team is. We've had some ups and downs. The ebbs and flows of a long NFL season are going to happen. But Mike, we want to be on the other end of this, and that is the winning end. We've not been on enough of that over the last few years, and the way that we're winning should give you a lot of confidence. Here's the deal. Sometimes you need a field goal. Sometimes you need a comeback win. Sometimes, Mike, you just need to dominate the game in the way that you need to. I felt like yesterday was one of those days.
Look, you played a team that you're better than because you just are. I mean, they've dealt with injuries. You know, we talked about it. The guys that used to beat us up aren't on that team anymore. Brian Burns is in New York, and we talked about, Brown is out. So there's a bunch of dudes that, you know, usually eat our lunch. But that's what you do. You don't monkey around with it. You take care of an inferior opponent. The only thing I said, if you could have found a way to get more heat on the quarterback and not give him time to find, I think it was Leggett who scored the touchdown before the half. That was kind of like, because you felt like you're just coming in, you're going to get the ball to start the second half, you're going to blow doors.
I agree. By the way, I told you guys I had to go to a wedding this weekend.
Oh, yeah. How was your Texas? Well, in Oklahoma did you get to see?
I will get to it, Mike, but I will tell you this. The venue was beautiful, man. I was blown away, and it was right here in town. I wasn't familiar with this. The West End Garage, for a lot of folks who live off the belt, beautiful venue, like in the back, and you kind of just walk through this area where they had the TVs and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And then you get to the area where the actual wedding took place. Beautiful ceremony. I got to give a couple of shout outs as well, because I met some folks there that were big listeners of us, and it was great to see the ceremonies. But ultimately, I was okay. It worked out for the best after all of that complaining by me. 404-726-0929. That is our text line. You can find us. And by the way, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, we will hand out some game balls and no balls as well. And also, Connor Riley, as we mentioned, at 4 o'clock, set to join us to talk about the Dogs and what happened this weekend. But also looking forward, man, because this weekend, like last weekend, you could say, all right, it was Ohio State at Oregon, right? That was the big one. Around the country, everybody was waiting to see if you know, 2 and 3, we know what played out. It was a one-point game, ended up being a great game back and forth. This week, it's Dogs at Texas. And everybody's going to be watching this top five matchup to see how the Dogs come back from this win at home. And, Mike, if they can play a complete game, and I'm going to say that all week, I think that's really what Kirby's looking for. There are elements to what we're seeing with the Dogs that we really like. But there are also elements we don't like.
No, I mean, I just wonder, we were looking up the number. Look at the numbers during the commercial break. And this is from Fox Sports' website. Texas is the number 2 pass defense. You know, so I know that what they want to do, and Bobo wants to throw it, and he just threw for 459 yards. You had an unbelievable game against Alabama once you got done with the first half and you spotted him 30 points. It's just run. I'll stop. If they can run the ball, they come into Texas and run the ball. It's the old school, like literally the kind of crap you and I make fun of when we go to SEC media days. You need to take the air out of the ball. Well, you really need to take the air out of the ball. You need to run the damn football. You know, and I don't know what their plan is for Quinn Ewers, and obviously Sarkisian is going to be looking at some things and try to exploit it. But, you know, losing the two toughest games on your schedule is not a resume builder for this college football playoff committee. That's a fact.
I agree with that. And by the way, that we're about to get to that point where we start to hear from the committee here at the end of the month and how they're thinking about this and the rankings and all of that, which is going to be interesting, because I'm with Mike on that. I don't think that is something you say, oh, well, we're still okay, it's fine.
I mean, I don't want to have this argument coming up after, like, if Georgia's not in the SEC championship game, heaven forbid, and somebody calls and goes, well, we kept Alabama and Texas within 10 points combined. No, that's not going to cut it.
No, it's not.
You got to get a dub.
I agree. More on that coming up. And, yeah, man, no man as well on this Falcon Monday. Falcon fans, rise up. Let's get to an NFL Blitz. Look, a lot of things happened over the weekend in the National Football League. But, Mike, I think, and again, just from a record standpoint, you could easily say the Texans are 5-1. Again, the Chiefs were off last week. They're 5-0. Bills and Jets play tonight. Mike and I were just talking about it. We'll get into it later. I have no idea who's going to show up for this game and what happens. But, man, I'm watching the Ravens yesterday. And, guys, I think that's the best football team right now. They ran or had the ball and a total yards, Mike, on the Commanders for over 500 yards. They sacked Jayden Daniels 3 times. Henry ran for over 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Zay Flowers had 130 yards. And Lamar, for everybody that says he's not accurate, can't throw the football, 2 consecutive games where he's thrown for over 300 yards. And the last week, Mike, he absolutely had to keep him in the game against the Bengals.
Right.
this team is humming offensively.
20-26 was Lamar with a pick. Jaden Daniels, I thought, did not embarrass himself by any stretch. You know, made good decisions for the most part, and you know, two touchdowns on the in the air. And then you don't want to run against that defense, going to get squished. But I thought that was an entertaining game. But you're right. And then Lamar, here's the thing. The evolution to the end of the season. Monken is certainly using the biggest tool in the box, and that's Derrick Henry, and as well you should.
I totally agree. Now, you could easily say, well, wait a minute, did you guys see what happened to the Cowboys? How did we not? 47-9 was the final score. Mike, that's back-to-back weeks. They played Seattle and scored 42, and then they scored 47 against the Cowboys. They get the Vikings next. Listen, injuries happen, but some injuries you can't overcome. And Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best edge rushers in the league.
And Dan Campbell talked about it, you know, how much he means to this team. Stayed in Dallas, they got the surgery, a broken fibia. And obviously you saw the reaction for both teams as he got carted off the field. But guys said, well, why are they running up on the Cowboys? Because they could. Because the Cowboys, they're terrible. I mean, everybody's guys said, well, why are you going to fire McCarthy? Why did he bring McCarthy back in the first place? You've got a lot of stars on that Cowboy team.
Yeah.
This is tailor-made, and if Jerry doesn't do it, then shame on him. This is where Belichick needs to come into a team which is ready-made and just needs somebody to crack the whip and squeeze the goodness and the greatness out of the team.
I like the way you said squeeze the goodness out of it. It's Dukes and Bell, NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Golf, 3 touchdowns yesterday. They ran the ball effectively. They sacked Dak 4 times. Now, no Micah Parsons. I get it. But this was ugly. And to say happy birthday, Mike. Happy birthday to Jerry.
Hey, Danny. Danny, my head came up. Too bad your head wasn't in it. They rushed for 53 yards because once the game was out the window, it was already done by halftime. There was no run game. And then Dak Prescott, 2 interceptions, sacked 4 times, you mentioned. And just doesn't – they don't pass the eye test. They just don't. CeeDee Lamb mugging on the sideline once again because they can't get him the rock.
I know.
It's just a bag, big, bad mess.
Well, and he got his bag. I mean, his money bag. He's not in his bag, but maybe he is after that L. Meanwhile, Tom Brady's expected to be approved as a minority owner of the Vegas Raiders.
Hey.
Tuesday's NFL Fall League meetings here in the ATL, by the way. Sources have told ESPN and others that the finance committee has reviewed Brady's bid. What is that about? Like, oh, he's got the money. Duh.
Yeah.
And they plan to have an owner's vote, Mike, with 24 of the league's 32 owners needing to approve it. Who's not approving this? It's Brady.
No, I mean, I don't know what this is other than window dressing. It's pretty simple. And, you know, here's the thing, though. He really needs to – it's one thing to say you're on the masthead as far as part of the ownership group. Can you have an impact on that team? Get in the side, you know, the guy who cuts his hair with a bowl, you know, Mark Davis, and say, look, we gotta blow this thing up again because it doesn't work again. It just is what it is. Speaking of things not working, Arizona Cardinals.
Bad day. Bad day.
I really leveraged my fantasy team on the Cardinals with Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison.
Guy?
Well, he's one of the, I got a couple of good quarterbacks.
Okay.
But it's very frustrating because you didn't see it. Harrison goes out with a concussion. Kyler Murray's just not great. And the only thing really working for them is Trey McBride, who's a really good tight end. But Green Bay, the other side of the story was, did you see Jordan Love on the back foot put the ball up?
That's a monster throw.
I mean, it's just insane. Now, granted, the DB might want to look for the ball at some point, but there were some amazing things. Christian Watson with a great catch. Dobbs, who, of course, was in the doghouse last week with 2 touchdowns. That's a team where you just mentioned the Lions. Who's the best team? There's 3 great teams in that division right now.
I do agree with that. And Green
4 great teams in that division.
Well, yeah, with Minnesota, the Lions, obviously, Green Bay, and the Bears. And we say that because the Bears are 4-2.
Like, and their defense is coming on.
Caleb throws 4 touchdowns yesterday, to your point. So now we go from, oh, this is Green Bay's or, you know, this is the Vikings division to lose. Maybe not. It's going to be interesting to see who gets to the forefront there. Cincinnati desperately needed a win. They got one last night. Don't know if you watched the Sunday night game.
Tough to watch. I was watching the Dodgers, and that was tough to watch, too.
Oh, it was boring. I mean, the Dodgers just ran it up, and then this game was hard to watch because it was like 7-0 forever until it wasn't. But Joe Burrow, this is why I give them a chance to come out of this hole of 1-4. Now 2 wins on the season, Mike, and we'll see if they can climb back to .500. But the odds of them getting to the playoffs, here's the deal. Last team to do it, 2018 Texans, and that's when Deshaun Watson had his head on straight.
Oof.
So when you're 1-4, it's a tough task, but That's what Cincinnati's working against as they beat the Giants 17-7.
The Eagles, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Eagles-Browns was an ugly affair, 2016. And that's one that, you know, you look at the Browns. Five sacks for the Eagles on Deshaun Watson. Jalen Hurts with two scores. But kind of a grinder. The one game I think everybody on the show was on except me. I should have just been a copycat. Was the Texans going in and beating up on New England?
Too easy. Yeah, New England is a bad football team. Drake May did throw three touchdowns, but he also threw three picks.
Do you realize next week in London, it's Patriots-Jags? Talk about a reason for not getting up on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I watched the Bears. I'm already up, but I wanted to see what Caleb right. looked like after a really good game. And then he throws that pick early. I'm like, uh-oh. But Mike, he turned it on. I don't know right now if I can tell you that Jaden Daniels is better. He feels like he is, but Caleb has come on here the last few weeks, man. This rookie class is what I'm getting to. This right. quarterback rookie class, outside of Drake May. Bo Nix is starting, so he's getting a lot of run in Denver. We're going to see him later in the season. But these two guys, man, the picks one and two, pretty damn good.
One of the most entertaining games just for Falcon fans purely was watching the Buccaneers. That was the lead-in before we came on at 4:15. Watching the Bucs put 51 in the Superdome. And if you didn't see it, Spencer Rattler made his debut. The Bucs did the same thing to the Saints they did to us. They took away the run game. Kamara only had 40 yards. But I tell you what, Saints were at one point were leading this game, and then Baker Mayfield, four touchdowns, had three picks in the game. But just some unbelievable individual efforts from Chris Godwin. Talked about, I just feel like this next, the rematch we're going to have in Tampa end of the month is going to be big.
I agree with that, Mike. It is. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. We'll hit on some game balls and no balls. As it is a Falcon Monday, and certainly we got to give a couple of game balls right to our guys, including our running back room. We'll do it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Handing out some game balls, no balls coming up here. Also, yeah, man, no man's on the way. Mike, what do you like right now about our football team? I'm talking about our Falcons. What's the best thing you think that you like about our team?
Versatility. And Zach Robinson getting more and more comfortable in his role as a first ever, six games into his career as the man, calling the plays. And you know, like we talked about the Patriots and how they would sometimes run for 300, sometimes throw for 300. And that's what I love, the ability to run. And we just salt games away on the road with running the game and running the ball. And that's one thing that Kirk Cousins said after the game about it really would pay dividends in the playoffs. That's what I love. I love it. The only thing I don't like is just where the pass rush is at right now.
That's fair. And listen, if you're a Falcon fan, you look at these overall numbers, six games in, you would hope that we'd have six sacks. We don't. That is something that is a little bit perplexing. But here's the deal. Again, I get back to the turnovers. I get back to, you know, getting off the field on third downs. They did a lot of that yesterday. Those two big interceptions, one by A.J. Terrell and, of course, Clark Phillips, who we love. I mean, he's just a baller, man. I mean, his spirit as a guy, when you walk up on Clark Phillips and you're like, this dude's in the NFL. He is. But he plays like a dog, man. And yesterday he read that route perfectly. So hopefully, again, as we continue to move along, offense continues to do the job, Mike. Defense get off the field, but maybe these sack numbers will come up. Outside of that, guys, we have nothing to complain about. Our record right now, really good considering where we thought this schedule was going to be and the teams that we thought we'd be facing here at the beginning of the year. And it's been tough. There's no doubt about it. But, Mike, three consecutive division wins? That's big.
Right. And since you and I spoke about a half hour ago, the Falcons Seahawks is now up to three again.
Oh.
So I think we moved the number.
All right. There it is.
No, the Falcons are basically 3 points for home field advantage coming up next Sunday at 1:00. Seattle coming east. And look, that could be a high-scoring, high-octane game to your point earlier. But you're just feeling good, guys. I know we have so many guys that have this, I don't know, this Falconitis, yeah. Like the ex-girlfriend, like, you know, it's like Lucy pulling the football out, as we say, you know, and you got to learn to have a little bit of faith in this thing as it evolves. And it's evolving. We're not the finished product yet.
No way. But we celebrate our wins on this show. All right, guys, want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. And again, keep those positive texts and tweets coming. There's nothing to complain about today. If you're going to work or you're mad, look at yourself in the mirror. Hey, man, let's give out some game balls and no balls. First of all, my game ball to Caleb Williams and the Bears from winning in London. But guys, Calvin Ridley didn't catch a ball, and he talked about it. Game ball to the Bears.
Game balls. No balls.
Swift the back, takes a snap, three steps, throwing, lob, left corner of the end zone, Keenan Allen, touchdown Bears. Two touchdowns for Cole Kmet, two touchdowns for Keenan Allen, and a four-pack for number 18, Caleb Williams, on the international stage here in London.
What was kind of off that resulted in targets but no catches?
I had targets in what part of the game I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then, so need some in the beginning of the game, too, then. Like, crazy for me. So, I'm just, you know, it is what it is. But I suck today. I got to be better. But I got to get the ball a little early in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so I can play well also.
That was Calvin Ridley in the Titans game.
That's Calvin Ridley talking about no catches. No, Mike, yes, but he's talking about the fact that he didn't get any balls, and I just love the fact that he's like, I got balls in the fourth quarter, but I didn't get any in the first quarter.
Got to get me in this blanket game.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. By the way, their quarterback's terrible. It's just Will Levis has been awful, and that's been part
he
of what's been going on.
He threw for 95 yards in that game. By the way, that's an ugly, ugly grind of a game. You know, Joe Flacco under center because Anthony Richardson still banged up. 2017, the Colts beat the Titans, and that was the postgame of Ridley going off.
I just wanted you to hear because we're familiar with him. Hey, let's give our guys some game balls, man. What about the running backs? Both Algier and Bijan both get game balls.
Game balls.
And Mike, just for winning three in a row, because it's been a long time.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Falcons. Three division wins is even bigger, but hey, the entire team gets a game ball, man.
Game balls.
All right, let's talk about who and what else happened around the league, Mike. Steelers go on the road against the Raiders. The Raiders change quarterbacks.
Was it really a road game?
Not really.
Like 70,000 Steelers fans. They took over Vegas.
They really did. Justin Fields, 7-yard run. He used his legs in this game. And then Mike Tomlin talking about TJ Watt. Steelers get a game ball.
Game balls.
Fields under center. Miller in motion. Play action pass. Now Fields wants to run. Has a couple blockers in front. He's into the end zone for a 7-yard touchdown run for Justin Fields.
If you've been around him during the course of his career here, you just know that he is going to seize those moments. He's going to rise up and be what we need him to be in some form or fashion. And I just think today was a reflection of it. It's just another chapter in his awesome story that is his career.
If you're not familiar with what he's talking about, at the end of this game, T.J. Watt does what T.J. Watt does. He forces a fumble at the 1-yard line to seal the game in the fourth quarter. And it's just, Mike, those big moments, this dude always shows up. That's what Mike Tomlin's talking about.
Could have been a Falcon, Carl. Justin Fields, not sexy, but hey, two touchdowns on the run. And did a nice job, 14-24. Everything that Arthur Smith's asking him for, Mr. Unlimited. Still can't get on the field. And I thought the play of that game, in addition to the play you just mentioned with T.J. Watt with the fumble, was the Najee Harris run where he takes it down the sideline, 36 yards, and then extends the ball for the pylon for the touchdown. That was beautiful.
Can I tell y'all a secret? Russ ain't playing.
Not if this stays like this.
The intent was never for Russ to play. Can I tell you guys that? That's Mike.
They wanted Fields to win that job demonstrably in the preseason.
I know we've talked about these injuries and all this stuff that's come out of Pittsburgh. I'm telling you guys, this was the plan, and it's working. And I do not think you're going to see Russell Wilson this entire season. And, Mike, for $1 million, who cares?
Right.
I mean, they're not paying him $40 million.
See, that's the thing. Sometimes the sticker price drives the effort or drives the depth chart. Not here in Pittsburgh, not under Tomlin's watch.
We're handing out game balls and no balls. What about the Cowboys? Let's give them a complete no balls.
No balls.
Can we give it to them again, please? I need to hear that no balls.
No balls.
Thank you. Now, Mike, a game ball.
No balls. Thank you.
I mean, that was a complete blowout last night or yesterday. But we will give a game ball to the Lions and Dan Campbell. Let's hear him talk about Hutchinson. Let's hear Jared Goff talk about the injury to their star on the defensive side.
Game balls.
We hate it for Hutch. That's tough. He's in good hands right now. He's being taken care of. He'll stay back here. Obviously, he's going to be down for a little while. So that's tough, man. It's hard when you lose somebody like him. But we'll know a lot more after this and obviously wish him the best.
Really tough. He's a guy who's part of the heartbeat of this team and is a leader, does everything right. He's a great teammate. He's everything you want in a player and a teammate. And to have him go down like that and to be visibly upset is tough for all of us. And he will be fine. You know, he's going to come back eventually, whenever that may be. But knowing him, he will be fine and he will bounce back.
The story out of the Detroit paper, the Free Press, says he will be ready for week 1 next season. If that's, I mean, if there's any solace, you know that he'll be ready to go for next year. But now you got to go find one of the more dynamic pass rushers. You just don't find those guys growing on trees. And everybody starts talking about on the websites and the social media, well, they got to call the Jets. Okay. Well, Hassan Reddick may actually suit up for the Jets. And you're still working out and figuring out the kinks of how you take a guy on and what is his contract going to look like if he went to Detroit. Either way, they'll be certainly shoppers for pass rush.
It's funny because we've been talking about Hassan Reddick potentially, you know, could we make a deal or whatever. He has new representation in Drew Rosenhaus. I told you guys last week they fired him, his agency. Drew has said, Mike, he is going to meet with the Jets and hopefully get this process started, and hopefully they can work towards a deal. But this is what should have been going on. I just feel like Hassan Reddick was being stubborn, and that's why his agency, his former agency, said, we're done. Now he's got Drew working for him.
Yeah, Joe Douglas, the GM. I mean, there's a lot of guys who probably get fired over there. I don't think Solomon necessarily should have been the dude, but he got. Now we'll see what Jeff Ulbrich's interim head coaching looks like tonight against Buffalo. You still have no vibe on this with Aaron Rodgers? The more and more people are starting to realize now, you know, that Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Sims was on our show last week, and Phil Simms' son was basically saying, you got to realize Aaron Rodgers is just can't do the job. He's not that good.
No,
balls. Wait, Chris.
That's personal.
The game hasn't even been played yet, Chris.
That's personal.
I mean, I know you're a Jets fan. The game is still on tonight.
Yeah, I don't, Mike. I mean, I want to tell you that these changes affect the team and they come out and emotionally they're all ready to go. The Jets' offense has been just completely awful. So I don't have a read on this. I said to you, what is the spread, by the way? Is it a pick 'em game now? What is it, 1 or 1.5 points or something like that? I mean, I don't know. This game's going to be played in the Meadowlands. I do not have a feel as to what's going to take place tonight. But I will say it's -1. So it's a pick 'em game, Mike. I mean, and by the way, Josh Allen was banged up last week. People are saying he shouldn't play. He's going to, but I'm not sure what takes place tonight. Hey, why would...
Can I add a no balls to this equation?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? Can we go with Will Howard and Ohio State for no balls on game management along with Ryan Day?
Good call.
No balls.
I mean, look, I get it. You have a pass interference play, but apparently nobody on the Ohio State team didn't realize that the clock was going to start running. So that created, Carl, this entire mess where maybe you just have to burn a timeout there and get your footing. But they don't. There's no sense of urgency. And then if you guys by now have seen the ending, Will Howard, he's sliding. He's in field goal range, but there's no time on the clock, and the game's over. And that's on Ryan Day and the coaching staff as well.
I totally agree. And some people are debating whether or not Dan Lanning took a penalty with 12 men on the field just so the clock could run. They lost 4 extra seconds.
Right.
I don't know if that was his intent, but that was a penalty that was called. But Ohio State completely mismanaged that whole situation. By the way, let's give a no balls to Lincoln Riley. Very similar situation with Penn State, Mike, where he mismanaged the game at the end, where he didn't use any of his timeouts, saying he didn't want to give Penn State an opportunity to get the ball back and go back down. It was completely mismanaged. No balls, USC loses.
No balls.
And let's give a game ball to Jamal Haynes, man. Mm. This kid ran 68 yards in the final minute, lifting Georgia Tech over North Carolina. He ran for a 170 and 2 touchdowns. He was big. And if you don't think Georgia Tech has confidence going into this Notre Dame game, and by the way, this is closer than it really was. They were handling North Carolina and allowed them to get back into the game. But, Mike, I'm curious to see what they do this weekend against Notre Dame here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Game ball to Jamal Haynes.
Game balls.
Now, there's no such thing as moral victories. We know that, Carl. But I would like to give it. We don't play the sound for it because, again, they lost the game. But Shane Beamer in South Carolina. They gave Alabama everything they could handle. And unfortunately, that missed field goal, that was frustrating. And then, again, you're in field goal range. You've got to tell your quarterback, here's the one thing, Lenoris, you can't do is throw up a ball like a friggin' pinata inside the 5. Yeah. I mean, all you had to do is maybe a few more run plays and take your shot. Man, South Carolina could have had back-to-back upsets of Alabama in the SEC. And, man, I guess a lot of fans in Tuscaloosa are reevaluating how they feel about Kalen DeBoer.
I guess they are, Mike. Too close for comfort. Hey, coming up, yeah, man, no man's on the way. Also, we're going to talk with our buddy Connor Riley about the Dogs. They beat Miss State, yes. But was it satisfying? Did it feel good? Meaning, are they playing the way you thought they would? We'll ask Connor Riley that and much more coming up in less than 30 minutes. Yeah, man, no man's next.
Last year we had kind of a rebuilding year.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Victory Monday. Wouldn't it feel good? Get your head, wrap your arms around this team, man. We're not even playing the total package, Carl. This was the closest we've come to the total package. About 3.5 quarters of football. I didn't like the way the game kind of started with Carolina, 3 and out, and then they kind of had a nice drive. But best game, I mean, overall, I mean, probably the least stressful game we played all season.
I would agree. I do think everybody in that locker room would agree that the first half, they were not satisfied, not just with the way the first half ended, but just the urgency with the game. They resolved it as the game moved along. But to come out, Mike, and I said, we got to put our foot on their throat and stomp these guys out, not give them any hope whatsoever. Now, that happened later in the game, but it didn't happen early. I'm with you, though. It feels good.
Right. Didn't like that touchdown before the half. Didn't like that fumble. We'll talk more about it later because I still don't understand. I don't think anybody understands what that fumble call was. It looked like the guy was down twice. You know, Ray McLeod, and the ball hit the Carolina player's leg. And then, to me, he was down. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Some of these calls, okay, we had a mysterious one a couple of weeks ago, and we asked Coach about it, and he said, I can't answer anything. Right. Because he didn't want to lose any money. This is another one. We'll get more into it. Coming up also, Kirk Cousins. You'll hear from him and A.J. Terrell after he gets his first pick of the year. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, happy Monday. Happy Falcon Monday. What's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. Had a lovely time with the girlfriend. We hung out. It was joy and merriment all around. And here we are back to work on a victory Monday. Couldn't be happier to get back to you guys and talk some sports. So everything's good. Not so good. Hard pivot here, gentlemen.
Oh.
There is a top four. A Mount Rushmore, if you will, from sportsbetting.ag. They're an aggregate site that gives us good tidbits and notes. I use them often. And they have a Mount Rushmore of the next NFL coach to be fired. Let's see, first of all, if you guys could name the top four. I'll then give you the odds and your prediction on who gets the boot.
I got to go with Sirianni.
Correct.
I'll go with Mike McCarthy.
Correct.
Antonio Pierce.
Correct.
Oh, wow. I got a trifecta. Can I go for the Quinella? I'm trying to think real quick. Off the top of my head. Crap, I'm blowing it. Pass, Carl. Jump in. Just finish it.
Save him, Carl. Save him.
Tag in.
It's a little outside the box, but not really given the way this team is playing.
Well, here's what's crazy. I'm with Mike on all of those, and I do think Nick Sirianni is going to be potentially the next. By the way, the reason why we say that, here's the caveat to that. Sirianni was fussing with Eagles fans yesterday. They're booing him. He's talking to them. It became a thing. He's now worried about what the fan. You're never going to win that.
And they're killing him in Philadelphia because he had his kid on his lap in the post game, which some are saying now you're using your child as a prop for sympathy. All right, Kevin Stefanski with the Browns.
Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
I'm waiting for confetti to fall from the ceiling.
How about a 4-for-4 from Mike Bell on this game? Okay, the odds real quick. 2-3 for Doug Peterson. 4-1 Mike McCarthy. 5-1 Kevin Stefanski. 6-1 Antonio Pierce. By the way, Nick Sirianni is all the way down, tied for 7th place at 12-1.
Okay.
Who out of those four gets the boot next?
I think, you know, somebody's going to be the scapegoat for the Deshaun Watson disaster, but man, I just don't know what Stefanski could do differently.
Yeah.
He got you in the playoffs last year with Joe Flacco at the end of the season.
Correct. And they chose not to re-sign him. This is an ownership issue. If you ask me, that they've got to make a decision. Listen, do you want to eat this money or not? If you're going to, then you move on. If not, if you want to say that Stefanski, to Mike's point, who's shown he can coach even without Deshaun Watson being at the helm, I think that's weak sauce.
Maybe it's going to be Shad Khan down there in Jacksonville, and now we'll start calling Sunshine the coach killer. Because, you know, look, now you can say what you want. Urban Meyer, that was a disaster that everybody knew was what it was. But they're going through coaches down there in Jacksonville. And I like Peterson, but I don't know. Does he have enough playmakers? It just looks like Sunshine sees shadows, Carl. He sees things that aren't there and starts just making bad decisions.
I agree. Yeah, man. I think if you ask me the first guy to go, it will be Jacksonville. There were high expectations going into the season. They look like a disaster. They're in London again this weekend.
Yeah, against the Patriots.
Yep. And they're technically the home team this weekend.
Yeah, but what if they lose that game to a terrible Patriots team? It could be Peterson.
He's flying Spirit back to, Jacksonville. That's what you're saying. All right. We heard a little bit from Kirby Smart earlier in the show, but we didn't get to this one. I want to make sure the audience hears it. Yeah, man, no, man. After you hear this clip, they are going to be defeated by the crowd.
Oh, the similar environment. That's a place I've never been. I mean, I've been, but I've never been for a game. I've been there to meet with their staff like years ago, but I don't know. I mean, I know it's SEC environment. I know it's a, you know, top 10 matchup. I mean, you're talking about powerhouse program. So then we at least we played at Kentucky, which was really hard. We played at Alabama, which was really hard. And so we've got some experience in that environment, but it'll be road environment, you know?
Hmm. I mean, Carl, you've been to games. I've never been to a game in Austin. I've seen the stadium, seen the campus, but yeah, I've seen it on TV, and it's going to be unbelievable. And because it's Formula One weekend and so cost prohibitive, you don't get it. I don't know how many Georgia tickets were even allotted to the program in the first place.
Well, you're getting 100,000 folks there, first and foremost. So for Georgia fans, 93K, you're getting 100 plus thousand fans in Darrell K. Royal Stadium. And the atmosphere, Mike, always depends on the game, right? If your team is winning, obviously Georgia can take the crowd out of this early if they score and they're dominating the game. But the reality is everybody's so geeked up for this. And here's the other part right now with Texas. This would be a different game, or at least a different atmosphere, if they weren't number one in the country. But because they are, and then they handled OU, everybody is on board. Everybody believes, like, look, this is our chance to get back to a national title and be atop of this thing again. So there, everybody's going to be amped up. That's if Texas was 15th, Mike, or 24th in the country, it'd feel different because they're number one. It's different.
And I know we've I said it before. It's the feeling about Tennessee. Although Tennessee's kind of backslid, that was a probably too close a game for them. You could argue up in Knoxville this weekend, but getting back against Florida, but getting back to the defense, Tennessee's got the number two total defense in college football. Texas has the number one total defense as far as yards allowed, average passing, the whole shebang, opposing touchdowns. Georgia comes in at number 28 going into this matchup this weekend. And that's where Georgia was 1, 2, or 3 those years they won natties. And it's just not there right now. And to me, that's the difference. That's the rub.
Mike, you were there. To me, and you mentioned this briefly, but to have you expound upon it, watching the defense play in person,
Yeah, it's just that the corners don't. And Malachi Starks after the game goes, "We got to get better." I mean, he's done a paraphrase. We'll talk about it next with Connor Riley at 4. But it just doesn't. Being there, I went to games in 21. That was the last time I was in it. That's why it's been 3 years since I got to go back to see the Dogs. The defense just was so dominant at the line of scrimmage, and it just isn't. And look, if you want to say, and some Dog fans will say, well, they were resting guys. Well, they weren't resting guys when they were letting Miss State score 14 points to start the second half. Not yet. Carl, they had historically good defenses, which is so hard to realize. They're just that how hard that was to put those teams together in 21 and 22.
Yeah, it's good. It's just not great. And I don't know if that wins you a national championship now. That's the fundamental thing that Dog fans are going to have to realize and face. And to your point about Texas, this is the reason why they are. I said this to you, Mike. They've got the best defensive line and the best offensive line in college football. That wins you championships. Ask Michigan, ask Georgia, ask Ohio State, who's competed in that realm. That is why everybody thinks that they're going to be there at the end, but we'll see. Chris, the environment will be great because of the circumstances.
All right, before we get out of here, let's hypothesize a little bit, shall we? There's a chance that we could have a Yankees and Dodgers World Series. Both are playing in their respective CSs right now. That would, yeah man, no man, propel baseball into the next level where they're trying to get in terms of reaching a younger fan base, newer demographics. If you have Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge facing off, yeah man, no man.
I'm going to say no man, and I'll tell you why. Because there's this thing called football season, and it's still going on, and we're in the middle of all these great storylines Chris just talked about, both in college and pro. And as much as you and I love baseball growing up, they do a poor job of marketing their stars. Although Shohei, of course, is on front and center right now with the Dodgers. But no, Chris, I think it's still nobody's topping football. I mean, they'll get great ratings, but it'll still pale in comparison to football.
Yeah, but baseball needs that matchup.
They do.
And they need it because of what you just mentioned. The casual fan knows hardly anybody from these other teams, specifically the Guardians, okay? But everybody pretty much knows who Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani is. They need this matchup. And, you know, if it happens, I think it'd be great for baseball. But as far as Mike is right, as far as, you know, the ratings are concerned, they're not beating Thursday night football. Let's just be real. So that's where it is. But it would be great for the game. Does it grow the game? That I don't know, Chris. I don't know unless those stars put on amazing performances. We've seen stars get to the World Series before and not have great performances. It really didn't help.
Well, Otani's not playing particularly well right now.
So
nobody's talking about it, but he's not.
So you've got to have all these things kind of play out. But if those guys, let's say Judge goes off and there's a home run, you know, barrage, and Otani is incredible and steals eight bases and hits six home runs, yes, people are going to pay attention.
All right, before we get out of here, I just got to say this, Carl Dukes.
What up?
Josh Naylor and Emmanuel Classe would like a word. Turtle at Chris's music.
Those are Guardians, by the way.
Yeah, man, and the Guardians are a hell of a story, and we're all everybody's a guard, even though I hate the name, because this is like one of the lowest teams payroll-wise. You know, literally, you got two guys in the Yankees that, you know, you take their salary, like Garrett Cole and Judge, boom, and that's the entire Indians. Guardians roster right now.
Yeah. 109 million total payroll.
Right.
109 million.
Unbelievable. So we're pulling for him. And again, now baseball's nightmare would be the Mets and the Guardians.
That's what I said. It needs this matchup. Right, yep. Hey, man, coming up, Connor Riley's going to join us. What does he think about what happened on Saturday? And what does he think about going into Austin this weekend? What did Kirby say today? Find all of that out and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.